Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. Again, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. How does the basic gospel intersect with your life every day? Well, one of the areas that it does is when we encounter temptation, when we encounter trials, when we encounter tribulations in life. That's when the basic gospel is most important and most relevant on a day-to-day basis. When we experience doubt, when we experience fear, when we encounter accusations from people and from the enemy, so to speak, that's where the basic gospel is most relevant, because we all experience that. And most of us don't know where to turn or how to handle those situations. But this gospel message equips us in such a powerful way. It doesn't make us strong. It just connects us to the one who is strong. That's why Paul starts out his conversation about spiritual warfare with these words: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Well, how are we strong in the Lord? How are we strong in his mighty power? By simply recognizing the armor that he has given us. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And this week we've been talking about those different pieces of the armor. Today we're going to focus a little attention on the shield of faith. That's a wonderful, I think, picture. And we kind of get the story. We kind of understand what Christ did. Where we get confused is this idea of faith. What does faith look like? What does the shield of faith do? And I think we need to spend a little time on that today. Richard, as you have thought about the shield of faith, what comes to your mind? What does that really mean?
Well, it starts off with this realization that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. We're promised, we're told that he is completely victorious, he is the king, he's coming back. Well, one of the things that is included in all of that guaranteed future is the fact that right now, today, he has declared me to be his child. If I am his child, then whatever future is guaranteed then is mine now, today. And I can step out in faith based on the reality that I belong to Jesus, and everything that belongs to him belongs to me. Every spiritual gift, everything needed for life and godliness is mine. Therefore, certain things are true. I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. I've been justified. I've been declared holy, righteous, all of these things. And every time you rehearse that list, it builds that shield of faith, because those are the things that define who I am. I'm defined by Jesus, not by anything I do. And therefore, nothing that Satan aims at me can touch me, because what he's aiming at me is attempts to make me doubt, to get my mind wandering off into the weeds on something else. And in that shield of faith is what absorbs every one of those darts that he has thrown at us.
Just to be specific, you know, one of the fiery darts that Satan threw at me for many years of my Christian life. I received Christ the summer between my sixth grade year and my seventh grade year. I responded to a very emotional message, a preacher just portraying the crucifixion of Christ, and I knew I needed Jesus, but I had no earthly idea what the ramifications of that were going to be in my day-to-day life. And whenever I sinned as a seventh grader, eighth grader, ninth grader, I always doubted that experience at that youth camp the summer between my sixth and seventh grade
year.
Yeah,
I must not have meant it.
Yeah, it was not real. And so I prayed to receive Christ time and time and time again, and with the hopes that this time it would take. Finally, when I came to a point and recognized that Jesus made me alive together with Christ, that doubt went away forever. The whatever fiery dart Satan threw at me was taken care of by that shield of faith. That's why this is so important. I finally figured out that I genuinely belonged to God, that I had been marked out by Him, for Him, through His Spirit, that I truly was a child of God. And when I stood on that truth, those fiery darts, even though Satan keeps throwing them, they have no consequence in my thinking whatsoever. They did for a long, long time. That's what this is all about. So what specifically is being thrown at you today? Maybe there's some darts that are coming your way from the evil one. What are they? And how does this shield of faith extinguish each and every one of them? Let's talk about it on today's program.
Today's edition of Basic Gospel, as a matter of fact. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We want to talk with you. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a part of this conversation, why, give us a call right now if you can. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Calgary and talk with Jim, listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Jim.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
Pleasure. An honor, actually. In Scripture, there's no mention of the United States of America.
Not that I know of.
And not even alluded to from what I have read. What is going on in the States right now in terms of the diminishing of the significance of the U.S.? Is that something that would be a preparation, a diminishing of the U.S. in terms of what will take place in times? And President Obama is the only president that I have never felt led to pray for. You know, maybe I'm not hearing well, but is this something that is just the way it is, and so on?
Well, Jim, it seems to me the way the world is going, individual nations aren't quite as important as they once were. There's this globalization that's taking place, and we, you know, our economies are so intertwined. What happens in China affects us here. What happens here affects everywhere else in the world. What's going on in Brazil? There are these connectors that have reached across borders. And so there's this globalization, and I think that's part of kind of the plan of the Bible. I think we see at a point in time the world's going to unite against God. I think that's what Satan is trying to do, is to unite the world against the one true God. So national prominence isn't quite as important as it once was, just because of the economic ties, the things that cross borders and all of that, energy, you know, our energy is dependent upon you guys up in Canada, and yours is dependent upon us, and we're all dependent upon the Middle East, and we just have this big globalization happening. And I think that's what has been predicted and prophesied in the Word of God.
And so we shouldn't be reading too much into the U.S. stepping back from supporting Israel. I pray for Israel every day, and the Bushes, I prayed every day for them too. And so we're just optimistically, with our eye toward the Lord, just continue to see how it progresses, I suppose. Hey.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right, Jim. And in the meantime, make yourself available to be used by Him to share the good news with people. Because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. God in Jesus rescuing people out of darkness, placing them into light. rescuing people who are dead in sin and putting them, making them alive in Jesus. We have that great opportunity to anticipate what the future is going to look like by bringing it into our present just through this good news of Jesus.
Indeed. Sir, thank you so much for your ministry in terms of grace, and I truly do appreciate it. Thank you.
Jim, hold the line. We're going to have our operator pick you up. We have something we'd like to send you by email, if you would be kind enough to lend your email address. So hold the line, and we'd like
Indeed.
To send it to you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. We sure appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, great question. And we have plenty of open lines. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available right now. Guys, a kind of a blast from the past here. That's what she describes herself as she writes this email. This is from Alona, our friend, a longtime friend in Phoenix. She says, hi, everyone. One of the earliest listeners still going strong after all these years. She says, I remember you all talking about the idea that we cannot take doctrine from the book of Acts. But I'll be darned, she says, if I can find my notes on it. Would you be kind enough to refresh this ancient memory of mine? And it's with hugs and blessings, she says. That's from Alona in Phoenix.
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, there's doctrine to be found everywhere. But generally, as far as the book of Acts is concerned, you see just a historical recording of the formation of the church as God reached out first to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, then to the Samaritans, then to the Gentile world, and how Paul was the guy that God kind of tapped on the shoulders and said, you're going to be the one that takes this message outside of the borders of Israel to people all around the world. So we see the spread of the gospel message. There were a lot of interesting things that took place in that time, during that time, things that haven't necessarily been repeated since then. And so a lot of times folks will look at how things occurred and they'll try to make a doctrine out of that, when in reality that was just for that moment. That was just that story. And so we need to recognize it for exactly what it is and not try to project something into it that doesn't need to be there. Where we get our doctrine is in the explanations of what Christ has accomplished, and that comes through the letters, Paul's letters, Peter's letters, John's letters, James's letters. That's where we get the full explanation of what Christ truly accomplished for us and what it means to us. So I think it's probably a safe caution as far as the book of Acts is concerned to not try to develop doctrines, because in one chapter, things happened one way, and in another chapter, they happened a different way. You know, some people were, received the Spirit and spoke in tongues in one chapter. Others received the Spirit and didn't speak in tongues. So how are you going to make a doctrine out of those two?
Yeah.
You just can't. You just have to recognize that's what happened at that particular moment. God had a particular purpose at that particular time, and we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
There are some statements in the book of Acts. I love what Paul wrote as he's giving a defense in one of his many trials, that all who call on the name of the Lord will receive forgiveness of sins. That's truth. That's just a statement that is true for all believers in Christ. If you've received Christ, you have received forgiveness of sins. So there are some statements in there that we would say, hey, that's doctrine. But generally speaking, a general rule, just look at it as a book recording history.
Yeah, there's a big difference between what is in Acts in terms of the description, definition of, and all of that regarding Jesus, and individual activities that tended to happen in. We tend to focus on the wrong things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Alona, I hope you're listening, and I hope that's been a help to you, and come see us. Friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss. We'd love to hear from you, and we have a prominent email address right on the front page of our website at basicgospel.net, so do that, and we'd love to address your question on a later edition. Right now, plenty of open lines and time remaining on the clock. We'd love to hear your question at 1-800-677-9377.
I'd like to go back to that prophecy issue in the context of spiritual warfare. That is one of Satan's most effective darts against us, is the misuse of prophecy or the emotional response to prophecy. You know, is this true? Does this have to do with the United States, or is this just going to be about the Middle East or whatever? And we get so wrapped up in that stuff. I used to be one of those, so I know what I'm talking about. We get so wrapped up in that stuff that we completely forget who Jesus is. And as soon as we've taken our eyes off of Jesus, we've dropped that shield of faith. We're relying on our own understanding or hoping that somebody can tell us about it. And now Satan has his way with our minds. And we get worried. We get afraid. We get depression as a result of it, because we always presume the absolute worst. Oh, if the United States, in our, you know, our country, if the United States isn't God's country in prophecy, oh, what's that going to mean? And we start wringing our hands in. And that's not why God gave us prophecy. The primary reason for God giving us prophecy is to build our faith so that we know that he really is in charge. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust him absolutely, even when we don't have every answer. And so that prophecy and spiritual warfare go hand in glove,
yeah.
And it's something we've got to pay
attention
to.
And what you just said is the stuff that God uses to make up this shield of faith.
Yes.
He is in control. We can trust that. We can count on that. And we can count on the promise that he's going to work everything together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Well, great, great insight there, Richard. Thank you. Let's go to Whitefield, North Carolina, and talk with Cameron, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Cameron.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Well, just doing fantastic. So nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I've been listening to your program and about doctrine, and it brought to mind to me about covenants, which I am always trying to seek more knowledge in the Word. And my heart feels that God's plan of salvation is for his children, and that it is a blessing, and that he will not allow his children to be taken from his hand out. Not that we do not make mistakes or step out of his will at times, but that he is sovereign and that he is going to work things together for good for those who love him and serve a purpose in his calling and his purpose. So when it came into the place of covenants, the marriage covenant that we live in with our spouses on earth, and the covenant of our Savior and what he has done for us, the new covenant and the old covenant, I have questions concerning this, because in my heart and in my mind, I feel that it was always Jesus was of God and from God and came as God. So it was established from all of time. I mean, what was, is, and ever will be as God. And the doctrine being, to me, his word is a living testimony for each of us who are not only saved because of a blessing, not of anything that we could ever do, or it's something that God gives.
It's called grace. That's grace.
Yes, by his grace and his works.
That's right.
And in essence of all of that, it's like we just accept and receive. And I think that people who reject are in a place of outside the doctrine. They are putting themselves at a place to be struck by evil, and is a hard place to be in, because I know out of God's love for all his children because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's not his plan for us. And I try to open myself up to a place to understand that God's plan for eternity and forever and ever in salvation, sometimes people look at just, well, the plan is for me to be saved and go to heaven. But his plan is unfolding every day in our breath that we wake up with by his mercies made new and by the fact that we're living it now. We're living it in the world.
Well, Cameron, here's a little take on what you're saying. I assume that you have a will, that you've gone to a lawyer or have drawn up a will that is going to direct what's going to happen at your death. If you don't, I would encourage you to do that. That's an important piece of work to do. But God had a will for us. It's called the New Covenant. And that will went into effect when Jesus died. And we simply were named as beneficiaries. Those of us who have come to Christ by faith, we were listed in that will. And because Christ died, was buried, and then was raised back to life, we get to enjoy that inheritance here and now. We get to enjoy living as a child of God. We get to enjoy all the blessings that we've been given in Christ, as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1. And so that's where covenant comes in. There was an old covenant that God had with the people of Israel that had some spiritual ramifications in the sense that it taught us our need for a Savior. And when we come to Christ by faith, we are put into this new covenant. And that's the covenant that governs our relationship or directs our relationship with God the Father today. And it is a covenant of grace. Everything is on his shoulders. You know, as God was working with the people of Israel, he says, I'm going to lift you out of Egypt and I'm going to take you to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I've already taken care of everything for you in this land. I just want to get you there. And so it's the same with us. In Jesus, he's taken care of everything for us. And salvation is getting us there. It is taking us out of death and putting us into life. It's taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and putting us into the kingdom of life. But once we're there, we get to experience Jesus in abundance and in fullness and in completeness. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, Cameron, you and I, we're new covenant believers. So,
absolutely. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So,
to God from the glory.
From
absolutely.
One new covenant believer to another, thank you so much for being on the program today. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a resource just to say thanks for being a part of today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
We want to say thanks to everybody who tuned in to be a part of this one and called to add your question or your comment and share in the conversation. We're here every day at the same time to do just exactly that, and we hope you will always take advantage of that opportunity. We are here live, as I said, to address questions and real-life issues by phone, so give us a call tomorrow early on the broadcast because we'll want to hear from you. Well, we are a listener-supported ministry, as you know. We're on the air only because of your prayers and your financial support, and as a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount, you're going to receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all of the resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our store at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, then please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about the broadcast. Again, that's Basic Gospel RDO on Twitter. To review what you hear each day on this broadcast, get on the list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent day's broadcasts. Again, that's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.